Welcome to the Protectors Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Piccolo.
Hey, welcome to the podcast. Today I'm welcoming Aaron Lohman. I've been following him for a long time on Instagram. He goes by the moniker Huge Fat Loser. And after this podcast, you'll understand where he came up with that. How you doing today?
Hey, how's it going?
Really good, man. Really good. So you're an NYPD sergeant right now, right?
Yeah, that's right.
That's really cool. How long you been a policeman?
July will be 13 years total.
Wow, so that's a pretty good climb up the sergeant, from what I understand.
Yeah, no, it was good. I never really planned on being a sergeant, so I took the test late in my career, and I've been a sergeant for about 7 months.
Oh, that's really cool. So was police always in your background? You always wanted to be a cop?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely not. I have the complete opposite story of becoming a cop. Pretty much I became a cop out of necessity. I wasn't the most motivated person when I was growing up. I went to college. I went to 5 different colleges. I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do with my life. I bounced between a lot of majors, film and biochemistry and science. And one day I stopped going to school. I was a landscaper. And my mother was pretty much like, you need to do something with your life or you're going to have to be on your own. And I had taken the PD test because my friend kind of talked me into doing it, even though I had no desire to be a cop. And then I said, you know what, I'll call this number after passing and I'll see if I can get this process started. And then within a couple of months, I became a cop.
Now, was that a big wake-up call coming from like the civilian world? All of a sudden, you're thrust into the police limelight?
I mean, I thought it was going to be like it was on TV, you know? Like, I was like, all right, listen, you know, well, not like a TV show, but like I'd watch cops. I'd be like, you know what, I might be pretty good at this. Let's see if I could do it, you know? So, yeah, I mean, it was different. The academy, believe it or not, what got me through the academy is I was in a fraternity. So it was almost very similar mindset where you just have to like have that mindset where it's like, all right, these guys are like there to like push you along and maybe, you know, they might yell at you or whatever, but at the end of the day, like they're doing it for you and you have to like kind of just like shut your mind down and just get through it and just suck it up and just do it. And that's what I did.
Now, what's the NYPD Police Academy like? I know like some police academies, they let you go home at night. Was this like, hey, you know what, you're staying there, you're pretty much almost like a boot camp?
No, you went home at night. I actually worked the afternoon shift. So it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon till 11 o'clock at night. But we went home after that.
Oh, that's really cool. So once you graduate, what happens from there? Like which precinct did you go to?
Once I graduated, I went to the 103rd precinct, which is in Jamaica, Queens. And I did what was called then Operation Impact, is where they take a bunch of brand new officers and they stick them in a high crime area on foot posts for visibility. And I had a good time. I mean, even then, it wasn't until I met my first partner at the time, I was clueless. I had no idea what I wanted to do as a cop. I didn't know anything about policing until I met my first partner, who was actually a scout sniper marine. And he was like, hey, listen, come with me. We're going to go check this building. So I was like, all right, this is pretty cool. You know, and then I kind of got more into like actually enjoying police work and like, you know, going after bad guys and doing stuff like that. So that kind of like propelled my career into what it is now.
Yeah, I guess they're looking for more proactive people rather than just sitting back and being reactive. So that's kind of what you did?
Yeah, I like being proactive. So pretty much my whole career, I've been, you know, working in proactive police units.
Yeah, so being proactive is kind of tough to get to the gym. And I guess what happened next is you started seeing a scale go. And I know that one really good. That same thing happened to me.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. I put so much focus on my career and being proactive and getting arrests and working overtime and all the stuff that goes along with that, that I stopped taking care of myself completely. You know, I gained well over 100 pounds. you know, it was bad.
Now, for the listeners out there, Aaron has an awesome Instagram account, and what he documents his workout. And you're going to see that he went from over 400 pounds, and he's in great shape now. But, you know, it wasn't just so, hey, you know, I want to look good. A lot of it had to do with your career, didn't it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I wanted to be in better shape to be a better cop. You know, I mean, I personally don't think that you need to be in great shape to be a good cop, because like, even when I was out of shape, I was still a good cop, but, it definitely helps a lot to, especially when your life depends on it.
Yeah. Especially when it comes down to like, you know, you never know when you're going to be on the ground with someone.
Right. No, absolutely.
And a lot of the LEOs that listen to this, you just never know. I mean, you could be 20 years in your career, never pull your gun. All of a sudden one day you're fighting for your life.
Right. No, exactly. Like, pretty much like the old cliche quote goes, it's, you know, 99% boredom and 1% sheer terror, whatever they say about it. But, it's 100% true. You know, like most of us get complacent and we think that we're going to go to work, it's going to be the same thing every day. And then that one time is just it, you know.
Now, have you ever found yourself into a situation like that when you're still big?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I said, I've worked at very proactive units, and there was one time when I was part of the Queens Gang Squad where I was actually wrestling with a perp in the back seat of the car over a gun. Now, it was a 1997 Honda Accord, four-door, me, my 425-pound frame, wrestling with a guy in the back seat over a gun. And the car was so small that it was difficult for even my partners to get into the front seat to help wrestle him. So it was bad. I was a couple weeks after my daughter was born too. So it was, you know, I should have waken up then. I had a bunch of times where I should have waken up and like really like concentrated more on my physical fitness, but unfortunately I didn't until much later.
Now, what was the catalyst that brought you to that point?
I was sleeping one night. I had a nightmare that my daughter, like, had to grow up without me because I got thrown off of a building by a perp. And, like, it was like one of those dreams where you woke up where you really thought that you lived it. And, like, from then on, I just kept on, you know, on this journey. I haven't stopped.
Now, you just went and got a gym membership, or what kind of brought you to that point?
No. Okay. So I went to work that very next day, and there's this thing in New York City. It's called the Five Borough Bike Tour. And it's 47 miles, I think it is. And it's around all five boroughs from New York. And one guy on my team was like, yo, I'm going to do this. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do it too. And everybody kind of laughed at me. And I was like, all right, well, we'll see. So I went out. I did research about bikes and stuff. And I went, I bought a bike. And I started riding my bike from my house to the train station. And I take the train into work. And then I'd ride from the train station at work to the command. And I'd do the same thing on the way home. I did that for a couple months. And that was about 11 miles round trip. And then from then, I started working out in the command gym. It was like a really dirty, crappy gym, you know, like old weights thrown together. The floor was filthy, but listen, I thrive in places like that, like where I could be alone and just like put work together. And, you know, little by little by little by little, I just kept going. I never stopped going. I started eating right also. And it's just, you know, it happens. It's not overnight, but it happens.
How long did it take you to kind of start seeing the change?
To start seeing the change, it happened after, I would say, like 8 months. But to like continuously keep going, like it took, I want to say, like 2.5 years really to see like a really, really dramatic change.
Now, what'd your wife think about all this? She must have been really stoked.
Believe it or not, the whole Instagram thing, the whole social media thing was her idea. She's like, I swear, like I had an Instagram account that I barely used. I didn't really know that much about social media or anything. She's like, you know, you should do a blog and you should do an Instagram account, you know, try to encourage other people. You know, you're really good at this. And I was like, I don't know, you know, especially like the police world has lightened up a little bit on social media, but it used to be like every cop was private. You know, hide your, even, there's a lot of cops that are still out there that they want to hide their lives. You know, they're scared of what the public is going to think about what they have to say. So I was a little hesitant.
Well, they're always afraid of litigation too. So yeah.
Oh yeah. No, of course. You know, and like backlash from whatever agency they come from. I'm glad things have lightened up since then, because I think it's super important that not only that the public sees what we have to say and that we're humans, but that other cops have like see that, oh yeah, you know what? This guy's going through the same problems that I'm going through. This guy feels the same way that I do. You know, it's being common. I mean, is almost like it's isolating in a certain type of way, even like amongst other cops. Cause like, you're almost scared to tell your opinion to another cop, cause you're scared of being judged by another cop too. You know, it's a very, you know, tricky thing.
Yeah. It's almost like you're on it. Yeah.
So that's why
it's almost like you're on an island.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, and I think that's why like cops have like, you know, this whole suicide rate and stuff like that. It's a very isolating job. Like you sometimes feel like you're alone in a way, you know what I mean? Which is why I think social media is actually very, very important for law enforcement, like to see that, you know, we have these bonds and we have these, you know, similar problems, similar issues. So she convinced me to do it, and then I just went with it.
Nah, it's awesome. And I think you brought up a couple of really good points in there that kind of get overlooked. A lot of people think about like PTSD and they think about suicide and everything with the military. But the law enforcement, they're right. Going through the same crisis right now as everybody else. And I think you brought up a lot of things. Yeah.
No, absolutely. You know, unfortunately, there's this stigma in law enforcement where, you know, if you're feeling a certain way that you can't talk to anybody because, you know, like there's going to be disciplinary action or whatever. And that's not necessarily true. You know what I mean? Like a lot of times people, cops will perpetuate that rumor that, oh man, you better not say anything. You know, the job's going to take action against you or stuff like that. But at the end of the day, it's important. It's way more important for you to get help and to talk to somebody than it is to like this job. You know, like, I mean, this job is a job. Like you're not, like, they're not going to fire you for something that you're going through. Obviously there's certain measures that they may or may not have to take, but at the end of the day, like it's more important that you see yourself through it and you come out of this thing alive.
Yeah, exactly. Like in the Fed world, a lot of people think, you know what, hey, if I go and tell them I have PTSD or I'm having some issues with alcohol or anything like that, they're gonna pull your clearance and you're gonna be put on a desk. So it's like it goes the whole spectrum of law enforcement is the same way. And that's what I like about the social media is because now you have like I hit you up on instant message and you know you're real receptive. And that's the same way with a ton of people I've been hitting up. And a lot of people hit me up, hey, you know what, I'm having a problem, I want to talk. What do you think? And that's the good thing about the social media.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, no, I talk to people all the time. I just put up a thing in my story today, a guy that I've talked to for a long time now. I mean, I had no idea he was going through some bad stuff at the time, but yesterday he hit me up. He's like, listen, I just want to let you know, like, when you talked to me a while back, you really helped me through some bad stuff, you know, like, and it meant a lot, you know?
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. And that's the other part of being proactive. And I've noticed a lot of that. When you have people proactive in leadership, management, street, whatever, a lot of the times they're the same people that are going to reach out to you. Because they're not only proactive on the street, they're proactive in their life.
Yes, 100%.
No, that's really cool. So your wife really supportive, which is great. Now, are you hitting the gym a ton? I know you got a lot of little kids. You have two little kids, right?
I have two kids. Yeah. I have a girl, she's 5, and I have a boy, he's 17 months. He's a lunatic. He's crazy, but I hit the gym every day. I hit the gym 6 days a week, whether it is the gym that I go to or my command gym, I make sure that I get it in every single day.
Nah, and that's the greatest thing about this social media. I'm telling you, man, I'm going to keep telling this for everybody listening out there. You know, you got to follow you on social media for inspiration. And it's not about, hey, you know what I want to start? there's no weight loss formula or anything else. There's no pyramid schemes. It's just straight on motivation.
No, hard work.
Yeah.
If you want it, you just figure out a way to work hard. I didn't have a personal trainer or anything. I literally just went on YouTube and went on social media and learned on my own and just got it done and just kept going.
Yeah, it's the greatest thing about you can pretty much figure out how to do anything now.
Yeah.
So what's next for you? I mean, are you going to stick being a sergeant for a while, or are you going to try to partake?
I mean, there's no upcoming lieutenant's exam or anything, but I didn't think I would enjoy being a sergeant, but I'm actually really enjoying it. You know, I enjoy my guys. All my guys are good. No problems. Just going to keep on working out, keep on going to the next thing. I just want to help as many people as I can. Seriously, like, especially cops, not just cops, but especially cops. You know, we all get into this funk where we think that we can't change our lives and, like, make it better, both through weight loss and, you know, like, I guess our attitude as cops. But I'm just there to tell everybody that they can do it, man. And like, I really enjoy helping people every day. Like,
yeah, I always get that now, 'cause I'm going on 19 years and I came in 2000, but you know, I was a 90s military guy, but wow. I always get that. I'm like, would you do it over again, especially with everything going on? And I'm like, yeah, you know, and I find a lot of police. Yeah.
100%. I always tell people this all the time. And like, listen, I've been through some stuff in my career, you know, that I probably can't talk about, but I've been through some stuff, some real down times where it's been bad. And let me tell you something. I still tell guys like, would you do it again? I'm like, listen, the job is what you make it. You know, even in the times where it was bad, I said to myself, listen, it's a job. I go to work. It sucks for 8.5 hours or however many hours it is, but then you go home to your regular life and you have to enjoy your regular life. Like, and that's it. And eventually things will get better and you'll enjoy work more. And, you know, the cycle continues. This cycle happens to everybody, you know?
Yeah. I call it the 5-year cycle. It's kind of dips and it comes and goes.
No, absolutely. And it's not just our job. I mean, the private sector too. I mean, trust me, everybody doesn't love their job. You have to love what you do outside the job. And that's very important.
Yeah. It's the greatest thing about the family now. So my kids are 8 and 10, you know, I go watch a little dance thing, come home, do a podcast. And this is what I realized. And you know, this is what I started the podcast for, was to talk to people like you who have these inspirational stories, just kind of get this stuff out there. And that's why, you know, I like to know more about just what the pictures are, the picture show online, you know,
the picture only shows part of the story.
So what is the most inspirational thing in your career? Like, well, just a really positive thing that happened to you. You know, did you save someone? Did you just have a great day, or just something really cool?
I mean, I don't really have a most inspirational moment, but I was recognized a couple years ago for saving a suicidal teenager from running into traffic and trying to commit suicide, which was cool. I mean, it felt good, you know. But I mean, notable arrests. Other than that, I mean.
Well, saving a suicidal teenager is really inspirational. I mean, a lot of, you know, that's pretty tough, because you never know what's going to happen, which way that's going to turn, man.
Yeah, no, it was pretty intense at the time, I remember. But other than that, I mean, I just go about my day. I don't really think about anything I do is specifically inspirational or crazy. I'm not one of those guys that like considers himself a hero. I'm just there to do my job and help people and go on to the next thing.
Now, you had like a mini profile of Men's Health, right?
Yeah, I've been in Men's Health twice.
What was that like? Did they come out and like send like a professional photographer?
No, they had me sending pictures to Men's Health. They had like, okay, go to the gym, take a bunch of pictures. And, you know, they interviewed me for the story and it was awesome. You know, they did it twice. They did like a big online article and then they did like a smaller in the magazine article, which is really cool.
That's very cool. Now, are there any organizations or anything you support that you want to talk about? Or you want to link to the podcast?
I don't really have any organizations that I affiliate myself with. Really, not any. Like, I mean, I give back to charity all the time. Brothers Before Others is a good charity that I like to support, and but nothing else that I can really think of that comes to my mind.
And we could follow you on Instagram under Huge Fat Loser.
Yes.
Are you on any other social media?
I'm on Facebook too, at Huge Fat Loser, and Twitter. I have Twitter too, at Huge Fat Loser, but I don't really tweet that much stuff, you know, but it's another way if you want to get in contact with me. You can contact me if you want to reach out to me. It's hugefatloser@gmail.com if you have any questions or if you just want to talk or anything.
Very cool. Well, thanks a lot for coming on.
No, thank you for having me. This is awesome.